Hey guys, and welcome to Smart Women Read Romance, a book review podcast where we fangirl over all things romance. I'm Juliette.
And I'm Jessen.
Today we'll be reviewing A Kingdom of Dreams, the first or second book in Judith McNaught's Westmoreland series, depending on who you consult. You can think of it like a standalone, since it's the only medieval book in the series. Before we dive in, make sure that you subscribe to the podcast on your preferred podcast platform, and please rate and review us. If you want more romance discussions, follow us on our social media pages at SW Read Rom, join our Facebook group, The Swoon Zone, and follow Jessen on her YouTube channel, Jessen Reads Romance. If you'd like some podcast extras, become a patron of the podcast on Patreon, where we have extra content, including exclusive episodes and give away free stickers, books, and bookmarks. Jessen's Etsy store is now open. You can buy the Read Romance enamel pin collection as well as our bookmark and sticker. Special shout out to our patrons for all of your support. We love you guys.
Love ya. Oh, and I also want to mention real quick, I am giving away a full set of the enamel pins. I am participating in the Kindle Clear Out Readathon, which starts on March 13th. And if you get a bingo, you'll be eligible to win. Jen from the Book Refuge is going to have a Google Doc where you could submit your bingo for a chance to win. And there's some prizes, and mine is just one of them. So I just wanted to let everybody know I'm excited about
fun
this
prize.
Fun prize. So fun. But I'm excited about that readathon because I have a ton of books on my Kindle. And includes audiobooks too. It's not just Kindle. It's just books you already own, basically.
Yeah.
Either in ebook format or in audio.
I'm actually fascinated to just watch you guys and see what the hell you've been like storing away and finally are pulling out of the, you know, dust cupboards.
Actually, I had to go through my Kindle because I'm making my TBR right now to fit the prompts. And one of the prompts is the oldest book on your Kindle. And so I went go look and I went through a huge phase in like 2018 of like getting every single free book that BookBub would like send a newsletter about. I'm being like, it's free. I'm going to download it while it's free. But so I decided to make the stipulation of the last book that the oldest book that I purchased. And so I had to go on Amazon and go look on all of the content that I've downloaded. And so I had to go and I finally found the oldest book that I purchased. So it'll be interesting. Last time I did this readathon, my favorite book was the oldest book on my Kindle I had yet to read. So
that's
It's just, it's a fun time. I'm excited about this readathon. What have you been up to?
Well, I am, you guys, as you've probably heard me mention before, my oldest son, Justin, is in the Navy, and he's coming home tomorrow.
So exciting.
I'm beyond excited. So I'm actually right now, I'm just like, I'm fucking exhausted because I have been just like cleaning. And then today I was running around doing errands, and then I was trying to find the best shrimp and oysters because I'm making a shrimp and andouille sausage and oyster gumbo, which he loves, and you know,
delicious.
All getting all the things ready for my boo.
He's probably so excited to have a good seafood gumbo because I know that he loves that.
I know. Well, we started warning and we're like, okay, we're going to take you to Shucks and then we're going to take you to Seafood Connection and then we're going to go here. You know, we're like talking all the restaurants and then I'm cooking and this, we're doing that. And he's like, okay, I'm going to start losing weight now so I can prepare.
It's like, that's how we show our love down here. It's like, let's feed you.
We're going to feed him.
We love you. Here's some good food. That's basically what it is down here. Yeah. I love it. I love it so much.
Super excited to see my baby. I haven't seen him in 15 months.
Wow.
I know.
So long.
I know.
So amazing. I'm so excited for y'all to be reunited.
Yeah.
And so we'll definitely be recording this podcast so that Juliet can go and take a nap.
I gotta go to have a drink.
She needs a drink and a nap. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, let's get chatting about A Kingdom of Dreams by Judith McNaught. I went through a phase where I was really searching for medieval romances. Mm-hmm. I wanted them. And I remember I posted on my Instagram story and I asked for recommendations from everyone. I'm like, who has medieval romance recommendations? Give them to me. So this was one of them. And so this is my first Judith McNaught that I ever read. And I really, really, really loved it. Mm-hmm. And I totally forgot about putting it on the podcast. And finally, whenever I had a blank spot, I'm like, oh my God, we never did this one yet. So I put it on here. So it was really exciting to get to reread this book because I haven't read it in over a year. So this is exciting. And this was Juliet's first Judith McNaught
as well. Definitely my first. Like, it just, Like, I love this, and the Julie Garwoods and all.
Around the same time that I discovered the Julie Garwoods, because that was one of the recommendations, was the Julie Garwoods as well. So
these are, I want more of these.
I love medieval romance.
And I know we talked about it, but it's like we were a little upset that this is the only one in this series that is medieval.
So I read this one, and then later on down the line, after I binged a lot of Julie Garwoods, because I had gotten a bunch of them off of eBay, Julie Garwoods. Mm-hmm. But I also had a copy of Winnie My Love. And so I did read that one, which is a part of this series, the Westmoreland series. And it was published first. And then a couple years later, she circled back around and did A Kingdom of Dreams. Mm-hmm. But Winnie My Love is like Regency time period. And I think all the rest of the books in the series are Regency. But it's just like there's so many other characters, side characters, that I'm like, they deserved the romance. What happened to that?
I know. There's one in particular I fell in love with, which we'll talk about when we get into it.
We will talk about it.
I'm so upset. I don't know his backstory. I'm still debating about it.
We'll talk about that and what we wanted from him in the spoiler section. So before we get there, let me tell you about our main characters really quick. We have a really cool heroine. I really like her. Her name's Jennifer Merrick, and her nickname is Jenny. And we first meet her. She's pretty young, 17. I also think it's funny that they considered her as a spinster.
It's just spinster, yeah, because most are married
14 through 16 is like the marriageable age. But she's been at a convent for 2 years now, and it's kind of like a punishment, and we'll talk about that. Mm-hmm. The way that Jenny longs to have like the approval of her father, and she's really throughout the entire novel pretty much searching for a place to belong and people to love her.
Yeah.
But she's a fiery heroine, and some of my favorite scenes are whenever she's kind of tricking the hero. It's great. And so our hero – oh, and also Jenny is Scottish. Our hero is Royce Westmoreland, and he is the Earl of Claymore, but his nickname is the Wolf.
The Wolf.
The Wolf. Yes. And like – I love how Jenny talks about how, you know, parents use stories of the wolf like the to scare man. Their children at night and be like, And the there's a scene in the beginning where she's like trying to calm the children because like everyone's like, the wolf is here. He's near. He's going to attack Merrick, whatever. So she is hanging out with her sister and she gets captured and brought to the wolf's camp. And they have some very interesting scenes because he's fascinated with her because she is not, you know, meek, demure, and she stands
she's not
up.
Kowtowing to
him. She stands up to him. And so Royce has been kind of like the, you know, war expert for King Henry Tudor. But he is tired of war, which that was very interesting.
Yeah.
But there's just one more thing that he has to accomplish for the king until he can go back to his home at Claymore. And so I think that they're a very interesting pair, and I can't wait to talk about their romance and how that all plays out.
All right, guys, so we're going to head into the spoiler section. So if you haven't read A Kingdom of Dreams, go check it out and come back to chat with us.
All right, guys, let's talk about how this starts off.
Here we go. Here we go.
So we get a really playful sense of Jenny in the first scene.
I love – so the opening scene, she's playing like a kind of a game. It's kind of like Blind Man's Bluff sort of thing with these children that are from the village. And she is in a nunnery with her sister. So she is playing a game, but I love that she's already we see her in a rebellious nature because she's not wearing the wimple, so her hair is uncovered, and you're not supposed to do that. Mm-hmm. But she's like, well, it's bothersome while I'm playing games, you know? So I just loved how we got to know her immediately. We're like, okay, she's not a rule follower. She's a rule bender.
Definitely not.
And then we get a little internal monologue that she's here because of some shame she brought on her family and some, you know – and also that we have a sinister older stepbrother, who basically kind of slandered her name and spread rumors to get her here.
See, Alexander was the older stepbrother that kind of made her life a living hell. And she later on kind of confesses it to Royce in a very interesting way. And I can't wait to chat about that particular scene. But basically, she is the only legitimate daughter of her father's, which means that she should inherit his earldom outright. But he remarried, and I think the wife that he remarried is actually kind of distantly related to him. Mm-hmm. And she has three sons and a daughter, Brenna. And she Jenny really loves Brenna, and she even loves William too. But then there's another brother, Malcolm, who's not that great. And then Alexander was the oldest, and he was the one that, like, Jenny's father wanted a son so bad. And so basically, even though Jenny should inherit, he made it so that Alexander would inherit. And Alexander, right, like, was just...
He's just a heinous individual.
He was. And it's so sad, though, too, because Jenny, you can see how she wants the approval of her dad. So when her dad arrives at the nunnery and Brenna's right there as well, they go, like, try to find her because she's not mm-hmm. actually at the nunnery. She's in the village with the kids. And he was saying how, you know, like, basically she was kind of like, look, I've changed in the 2 years since you brought me to this nunnery. And he was like, not that much. Looking at the yeah. way that she's holding her wimple.
Yeah.
Like, you're still rebellious.
But the one thing he does say, which got me kind of, he's like, you're a woman now, which I know as a father, he's calculating marriageable
age. He also says, like, saying that, like, she has the look of her mother. And apparently, yeah. like, her mother was like, he wasn't saying it in a complimentary manner.
Yeah.
He was saying it in, like, she has the body of, like, a temptress, basically. Right. He didn't outright say it, but whenever.
And even the face. Like, yes. They talked about that. She said that, I can't remember who in her past once told her she was the kind of woman who made men have, I forgot how they said it, but
like
it was so clever.
Lecherous thoughts and stuff.
But she didn't say that, but it was like, made them. Look at you, or made them, you know, and she's like, what are they talking about? She even yes. asks Brenna, like, Brenna, am I odd looking?
I love that conversation with Brenna. And Brenna was like, you know, you're really pretty.
You're pretty.
Your eyes are blue. And Jenny's like, my eyes were blue 2 years ago. Thanks for the update. That's great.
But it's funny because Brenna's so sweet. She just sees her sweet sister. You know what I mean? She doesn't see her as how men would see her.
Right.
But obviously she does have a body and, like, a striking face, a full mouth, you know, mm-hmm. very sensuous looking.
Exactly. And this is in a time when, you know, women are expected to cover up. It's the time of the veils over the head and yeah. stuff like that. So it's very, you know... just women aren't allowed to show any body parts, basically. But
she's romping around without her wimple.
Yes, exactly. And so the father also informs her that they're probably going to have her betrothed to Clan McPherson, because, like, McPherson, they want an alliance so that they can defeat the English.
Right, because the wolf's coming. They're like, mm-hmm. the only way we can defeat him is with McPherson's army, mm-hmm. and what he wants is you.
Yeah.
And so he basically says, do you agree? And she remembers McPherson. He's like this old lecherous dude who's always looking at her,
of
course.
This is the second time that her father yeah. tried to betroth her yes. to an old lecherous dude.
Yeah,
so.
Like, obviously, like, look at the pattern here, please. And so she agrees because she agrees, though, because she wants the love of her father and the love of her clan.
She wants to please him so badly.
She wants her clan to love her again because they don't right now because
no.
of the rumors that were spread.
Exactly. And I find it pretty sad at the way that she kind of has convinced herself that her father is, like, wants the best for her. Mm-hmm. But we as the reader, pretty aware that the father is just kind of like,
using her.
I have a female. Females are good for marriage
alliances.
And alliances.
Yeah.
And there we go.
That's their
You're
purpose.
Useful that way, but no other way. And he's very cruel. We'll find out later because,
yeah.
of course, he was the one that, like, really loved Alexander. And Alexander died on the battlefield. And
yeah.
I think in one of the skirmishes with the wolf or something.
Yeah.
So the father definitely hates Royce, does not like him at all.
What I found so funny is they're like, okay, well, we're off. You girls go back to the nunnery.
Yes.
And so they leave them in the road and, like, okay, let's. And so
let's hang out in the forest for
a while.
She's
like, let's go up that hill and see how pretty it is. So these two.
Because I do understand it to an extent, though, because she was like, every single week, people
yeah.
are freaking out about the wolf is near, the wolf
yes,
is near. And so there's, like,
rumors,
and she had to, like,
yeah.
I love how she kind of dispelled the fears of the little children
yeah,
because,
like,
they're like, we heard he was as tall as a tree. And she's like, that must make it difficult to sit on a horse. Like,
yeah.
what kind of horse would it take to?
I love it. And then she started making fun of him and
yes.
making, like, voices, and the kids would giggle
yes.
and stuff.
So she's pretty natural at being, like, that type of, like, leader
yes.
And putting others at ease,
mm-hmm.
which is very important. Whenever you want to be the lady of a manor or a huge
yeah.
castle, like Claymore. So anyway, suddenly there's this hand that clamps on the back over their mouth so that they can't scream. Yes. And then we get the point of view of Stefan, who is the brother of Royce. And he's like, what are the odds
what
that
are the
we would
odds?
Stumble upon
the daughters of our enemy.
Of Merrick. This is perfect. This is so great.
He's like, oh my God, my brother's going to love me now. Because the point is they're thinking they can take the girls for ransom and end the battle with no bloodshed.
Yes.
Basically, they would have to surrender in order to get the girls back.
Yes. You know? And I love how also they're just like, yes, this is the only daughter of the Merrick, and he'll definitely want to negotiate with us.
Yeah.
And honestly, he would be more likely to negotiate for Brenna than he would for Jenny.
Yeah, exactly.
And Brenna's not even his child. So yeah. it's just crazy. But whenever they get to the camp, I love the first scene.
I love the first scene.
The first scene is so good.
The description of him with like his black cape billowing and the firelight.
Black
hair. It's dark. It's dark. And so the firelight's like, you know, causing all these like sharp, shadowy angles on his face. And he just looks like monstrous, you know.
And even before the hood's ripped off of her head, from over her head, she hears his voice. And like, there's something about his voice too. And I love that. I love when our authors love to describe, you know, how a voice affects the heroine.
Yes.
And vice versa, if the voice affects the hero. I recently read a book called Love at First by Kate Claiborne. I read an arc for that one, and that had kind of like a similar thing where he heard the heroine's voice, and like the way that it made him feel, it gave me the chills. And so this is kind of like the same kind of situation. Yeah. I love that.
Because
you know that that's a signal.
Yes.
A signal of like voices. Attraction to come. Yes. You know what I'm saying? So it was a clear signal. And she comes out swinging, literally.
Literally.
Literally. And she even like clips him on the chin.
That's so funny. And then, like, I think she get him in the balls too, or is that later?
She does, because he like picks her up and
oh
she's still flailing, like not at all ready to call defeat. And he is just like,
what the fuck have you brought me?
Why did you bring two nuns here? This is stupid, Steven. Like, what the hell? And he's like, they're not nuns.
Yeah.
They're the Merrick's daughters and stuff like that. And so finally they're taken prisoner. And that's whenever Steven gets to like chat with his brother in private and just being like, look, they're not actually nuns. They haven't taken any of the vows or anything.
Right.
But,
yeah, because
they
were strict laws against like, you know, protecting nuns at that time.
Yes. And so, but now, Royce is like, okay, fine. Maybe this will work, and bring the younger one to me. And so Brenna is very meek. She cries a lot.
Yes.
And we're in Jenny's point of view whenever they come to get Brenna and they bring her to the Royce's tent. And she comes back and she's crying. And she's like, what did he do to you? Did he hurt you? And she was just like, he was just mad
because
he talked to me. And he was mad because I would stop crying. And so
she's just like, but he also knew that if he wanted information, he was going to get it out of Brenna.
He was not,
because she was already being defiant. Mm-hmm. You know, she's like, mm-mm.
Yes, because whenever they were in the camp, I love how Jenny tried to deny. Like, no, we're just regular nuns. And
we're not nobody.
She's not my sister at all. And Brenna couldn't lie for shit. And she was just like, yes, I am the daughter of America. And I'm like, Brenna, you're not helping the situation. Your sister is trying to get you out of it.
He also quickly learns that if he wants her to obey him, he just has to threaten Brenna.
Yes.
Even though he has no intentions of hurting her or anything.
No, but it's a form of manipulation.
He keeps up this fear because – you know, his reputation is part of how he has won so many battles. Because a lot of people will almost like lay down before they even start. And that's kind of what he's depended on. And so I like how he kind of keeps pretending this pretense of like this big badass. And he is a big badass, but he's not cruel and heartless and like eating carnivorous, you know, people in the, you know, they
bathing in the blood of his enemies.
Bathing in the blood of his, like, it's just like craziness, you know?
He's the stories about him are crazy.
Yeah. And that's also why the king has allowed, he is the only one who's allowed to fly his own standard of the blue flag with the wolf on it.
Yes.
Because instead of King Henry's.
Because it's his own army and not considered King Henry's army.
Right.
Because under anyone else's command, it could become a threat to King Henry.
Right.
Who this is Henry VII, who he had conquered England.
When you discover that they've known each other a long time, they've fought in battle together, and he allowed
him
to do it.
Yeah.
just to instill fear in Henry's enemies, mm-hmm. you know, to defeat them.
Yes. He's definitely a good soldier, just trying to do what he's told.
He's never betrayed Henry before.
No, exactly. And so this is really interesting, the way that Jenny quickly realizes that she approached this all wrong. And if she is going to get a chance to escape, then she has to kind of play a little bit meeker. And so when they're stuck in the tent, her and Brenna, she's like, Brenna, you need to be the one to ask the guard if we could have a needle and thread and stuff like that. And so Royce is just like, what are they up to? They're up to something. Let me go talk. Because Brenna, who's too afraid to talk to Royce, she was like, just ask one of the guards, Sir Godfrey, the pretty one who's susceptible to a pretty face, which is Brenna. But Royce comes instead, and Brenna does, you know, kind of buck up, and she does say like, oh, we're so bored, and like, we're women, we have nothing to do, and all we want to do is sew.
How else do we pass the time? Anything for you. Anything. It's like, oh, anything? Fine. So here's
the
like,
mending.
So this was her whole plan, was to get a hold of some men's clothes.
But then the best way to get men on board with your plan is to act like they're the ones to come up with the plan.
Yes. That's so why Jenny's like, so smart.
Yes.
Yes, so he's
do I'm going to punish you with the mending. Do you know how much mending we have to do? Here you go if you want to sew that much. And Jenny's just like, the stupid idiot is giving us, first of all, access to disguises. Thank you. Thank you for that.
So the first thing they do is they mend some men's clothes that fit them and tuck those and hide those away.
Yes.
And then she proceeds to like sew up his sleeves together so when he sticks his arm in it, it won't go all the way.
He sews the armholes closed.
She even sews like a pirate, the crucifix with the skull and crossbones on the back of one of the shirts.
Is definitely, they stay up like all night doing this, sabotaging the enemy.
Yeah.
So this is such a great plan. And even like she's just like, the way that her mind works, because whenever they go to the stream, because they're allotted 15 minutes
at
the stream of privacy, as long as they don't go too far. And so she had kind of been building up the trust, making sure she wasn't going too far. And then that one day that they're ready to make their escape, and they tell the guard, like, hey, you know, we stayed up so late last night, and like, just a couple more minutes maybe to be added on. And so they hook their wimples, because they've been wearing the same clothes the whole time. And they hook it to tree branches to make it like, be like, if someone would look, it'd be like, oh, they're standing right there. They're not. And she has the presence of mind to take a handkerchief and go in the opposite direction where they're going and hang it there.
And then go back.
To create a false trail.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Wonderful, Jenny. Wonderful. And they circle back to the camp once they're in their men's clothing to steal some horses.
They skirt the perimeter and they steal two horses. And one of them is Thor, which is Royce's battle
steed.
Destrian horse, this giant black steed.
Yes.
And so they take off. And so it's brilliant.
I love Royce's point of view, though, too, because he's like, not really that alarmed. Just being like, they're probably hiding in the woods or something.
Like y'all just we'll go find get them. Just like, go get them.
There's no need to sound an alarm.
6 hours later.
He's like, God damn it. She led us on a false trail.
I know.
She has my horse. Just like,
I love how they even sent people out to like, you know, go and question people in the road. They're like, nobody saw anyone. Just two boys riding on horseback. Which
he's
was
like,
them.
We have been had. Yes. We've been looking for two nuns, and we're looking for two small men on my horse. Perfect.
It's awesome.
They do end up by catching up to them. Yeah. And
But we have a sad moment. So because Jenny, first of all, she tells Brenna, hide here, you know, because they're by around their fire and they're set back in the woods, but they can hear someone coming, or the horse snuffles or something and warns them. That's what happens. And so she quickly says, Brenna, hide. I'll distract him. So she gets on Thor and takes off, and she just is so defiant, like not wanting to give up. And Royce tells her, stop, Jenny, stop. Cause he sees that there's a road ending up ahead, and she doesn't listen, and she kicks the horse, and he basically leaps over a cliff and bucks her first. So saves her. And so Thor dies.
Thor dies.
Heartbroken.
Crystal, if you're listening to this podcast, there is a death of a horse. Oh, just wanted God. You to be warned. Oh, God. It is very sad. No. I wasn't expecting that. I don't like whenever horses die.
Me neither. I just was so, I was like, wait, what did she do? And then I really, and it's just like, and it's devastating because he is furious.
What he says to her and being like, he was such a well-trained horse and such a loyal horse that, you know, he tried to warn you. That's why he didn't want to jump over the tree trunk. And you, whenever you still asked him to do it, him knowing that danger was ahead, he still did it.
And he saved
loyal.
You.
Yeah.
He saved you by bucking you first.
She's torn. She's crying. Yeah. She feels bad about it.
She should.
She does. And he uses that against her to like kind of like, you know, bring her back and
bring her to heel.
Brenna was also captured as well. Yeah. So it was a failed escape attempt.
But I love it when they get back to camp. She's like expecting them to like him to like. Now, of course, they're walking them through camp, and the men are furious because not only did they, you know, make them look like fools and run on this wild chase for 6 hours and kill his horse, but they also slashed all of the blankets when they were supposed to be mending. So it's like now they just feel like, okay, these bitches, you know.
Yeah.
And
the thing is, we're going to have to sleep in the cold tonight.
Y'all, they're the daughters of the enemy. They really could have abused these girls. They could have raped them, killed them, whatever they wanted, and they hadn't. They'd been treating them rather well for prisoners. And so now, though, she's pretty terrified. She thinks they're going to throw them back in the tent, and he keeps walking back to his tent.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. We're ready for it.
The sisters are separated. Brenna is given to Stefan to keep in his tent, and Jenny has to stay in Royce's tent. And this is where it gets really good because we have a lot of the forced proximity. But I love how he's just like, you know, go sleep over there on the ground, you little wench. You know, he's just like so angry with her. But
he also spanks her, it was like kind of like that Outlander thing when Jamie has to punish Claire. But it's so funny, though, too. Do they ever say what Royce's age is? I can't remember if they say. I know that she's 17. But she does sometimes act in a very mature way. But then she sometimes acts, you know,
that was
in
very
an
impulsive,
immature way.
Very
an impulsive way. Exactly.
And I think he's in his 30s or something.
Yeah. So he does sometimes view her as a child, though, too. And he does punish her like a child. He whips her. Yeah. He spanks her. I find that you'll find this type of scene in older books, and this was written in 89. And so,
and that was a means. That's what they did.
Yeah. And so I wasn't like disturbed by it. I know that some modern readers of historical romance would not like to read a historical romance that was written this far back. But I always go
that wasn't
in,
erotic spanking.
Yes. Yes. It was not an erotic spanking. It was just like a regular punishment spanking.
No, I like both. I don't know why.
Yes.
I don't know why.
I'm okay with it. I'm not going to like dock this author who wrote this in 1989 like points for obviously.
Right.
You know, I would expect something different for a modern day historical romance writer.
Right.
But I'm not going to, you know, harp on what they didn't really know was not acceptable because a lot of people were writing worse than this. So anyway, I've read them. I have read crazy, crazy historical romances. So anyway, I also really liked that scene. He was like expecting her to cry out, and that's kind of what he was waiting for.
Yes.
But she bit her lip so hard that she was bleeding because she didn't want to give him the satisfaction.
Yeah.
Also, she swiped the dagger.
Well, like when he lets her up, she stands up with a dagger. And basically she holds it up and he's like, holy shit. And then she lunges and she cuts him
on the face.
Girl. I was like, you've got
Jenny
balls.
Is Jenny ballsy,
has
okay?
Got balls.
I also love the scene in the same way that I really loved in Devil's Daughter when Phoebe goes to shave Wes's face. It's very intimate.
Yeah.
When he has to have his beard shaved off so that his scar, not his scar, his cut gets sewn back.
Right.
Jenny's kind of like looking and he was like, yeah, you want to come see it up close? Like, oh, and I guess you should be the one to sew it up.
Yeah.
And so she's kind of confronted with the consequences of her action. Like, she's very headstrong, and just like in the way that she was just kind of like, I want to escape and wasn't really thinking about the comfort of the men, her enemies, who she left without blankets, and of Thor, who she was just like, just get me to safety. And she cuts Royce, but now she has to mend him. And so she's confronted with, like, the blood and the gore of it. And I really like that kind of contrast.
I do, too.
Because
love
she's
this.
So, like, English against Scottish. Like, English are my enemies and all of you are terrible humans.
Right.
But whenever you're up close like this personal and you see, like, somebody else's pain, you realize, you know, I actually hurt another human being. And it becomes a little bit different. And so I like this scene.
Yeah.
And this is also the first time that Royce kind of recognizes her as a woman because she's wearing boys' clothes, which means it's a lot more form-fitting than the nun's habit and stuff like that. So, ooh.
I know. I love it. I love it. I don't know why I love these historicals where the women end up in men's clothes for whatever reason like this because you know.
You see the booty.
You're seeing the butt. Yeah. You're seeing the waist and the boobs, all the curves, you know. It's like,
Very, very much so. And Jenny kind of calms down a little bit after that. She
does.
She kind of
recognizes, because even, like, he's like, you don't even deserve a blanket. You're going to lay there in the cold. Like, you don't get, you get nothing. And, of course, when she's, like, laying there crying and shivering, he ends up
covering her anyway.
He's like, and he, I love how he like, talks to himself. And Judy's like, well, you know,
my men are used to the cold, and like she's not, so like I'll just cover her. It's okay.
Yeah, because he tells her, he's like, you know, my men are cold. You're gonna be cold. Yeah. You know, and it's kind of, but he ends up not able.
So it's just that subtle softening that we see that this hardened warrior has a little bit of a soft spot for her.
Yeah.
Despite all the things that she has done.
Yeah.
And it's just so awesome. And so they kind of like spend some time together. She's being a little bit more meek. She wants to see her sister, but he's like, no.
Yeah.
And so they have these conversations and he's like wanting to know more about her past and stuff like that. And they get onto the subject of like, why isn't he getting married? And he was like, yeah, I don't really know. My courtly manners aren't really like up to snuff or whatever.
Because
he doesn't like to,
like
to hang out there anyway.
I know.
And so she kind of like jokingly gives him like pointers like, oh, ladies want to be told all these flowery things. And he was like, so I shouldn't tell a lady this. And she's like, no.
They're
so
like they're
kinda
ridiculous.
They're kind of having a moment.
Yeah.
And she was like, well, what are something that you can do well? Mm-hmm. And he was like, well, like it wouldn't be in polite conversation to mention that. And at first I thought he was gonna be like, you know, I fuck well.
Right.
But he doesn't go quite that far. He just like, I kiss well. And she's like, I would have nothing to compare that to because I've never been kissed. And so this is their first kiss.
Yes.
And it goes pretty far.
Yes.
It goes pretty far.
Yes.
If they weren't interrupted, might have gone all the way.
Yeah, I think so too.
She was very much enjoying this kiss. But of course, you know, in those types of scenes, especially when they're supposed to be enemies, she is kind of shocked after that and kind of like.
And then she's really trying to like put up a wall. She's like, oh my God, I can't fall for him and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I love how, so when they get back on the road, they're going back to Harding, which is like one of his homesteads. He has like many homes apparently, all that he's. Harding was given to him by the king though, I think. So, but it's close by. That's where they're going to sort of like regroup and get, you know,
spend a couple nights,
and all that stuff. And so they stop for a break like in a field, and he summons her to like go hang out with him, whatever, and he just wants to talk to her.
He does.
And he's like, and even they start laughing, and other people, like the people in the field, are like, they're laughing, he's laughing,
like we've never heard the Earl of Claymore, this very stoic dude, experience like
she's
mirth.
Funny. She's so funny and entertaining.
I think that these scenes are very important because, of course, once we get to the scenes where they're kind of at odds again, it's very important to establish this base and
this
kind of
bond.
Like show how, like, though Jenny's kind of like playing the meek person because she's looking for another opportunity to escape, she's also
she lets her guard down and starts to just chat about her life and makes him laugh about things that she's done and, you know.
Being in, I think it was in Royce's point of view, whenever she was talking about how he was like, well, why did you get sent to the nunnery for 2 years? Like, what happened? And she was like, basically saying how whenever we're in Royce's point of view and we hear the way that she describes the scene where her first betrothed comes, and she's like, yeah, I had this brother and like they were just having fun with me. Like it was a joke, but like you can hear the hurt. Like it was done on purpose and it was a malicious thing to do. They basically tricked her into like dressing up way too much.
Oh my gosh.
And then
dripping in jewels. Diamonds.
Looking like crazy.
Like crazy.
And then she also blurted out, you know, Well, no, she didn't blurt out. She was laughing at him because of the way that the old dude was eating artichokes.
Yes, because they told her what that's supposed to mean. And she thought that was hilarious.
An aphrodisiac or whatever.
Like, are you kidding me?
Yes. And so the guy was really offended. And so the father sent her to a nunnery and pretty much forgot about her.
Well, the other part was, too, is that she got so mad at Alexander that she challenged him to the joust. And, of course, she can't. She's a woman. So, y'all. She, of course, gets in men's gear, men's armor, goes out on the field, but rather than fight him, she lifts her shield and sticks out her tongue at him.
Yeah.
And basically makes a fool of him, but her father.
It surprises him so much that he falls off his horse.
He falls off his horse. He's unhorsed.
And that's
unhorsed.
That is a very unmanly thing to do.
Yes.
And so it's just like her father.
We also learn her father, like, basically thrashes her on the field.
Yes. And so, like, the way that she speaks about it and just being like, you know, I probably deserve that or whatever. And,
but how humiliating.
And it that's just the broke thing, though, heart. Too. And that's whenever we really realize that Jenny's making excuses in her head for the way that her father has treated her and the way that all her stepbrothers have treated her except for William.
Yeah.
And she wants their love so bad, even though we know that they could care less about her comforts and her happiness.
And like you said, I like that we got this scene from Royce's point of view.
And he understands that, though.
Yes.
Like, he understands it, but he doesn't want to argue with her because he feels bad. He doesn't want to be like, yeah, your dad doesn't love you.
Yeah. And I think his heart is like, he's like feeling very tender toward her that she's obviously been, they're trying to beat her will out of her.
Yeah.
And that's
and
what
the
he
way
loves
that
so
Alexander
much about her.
Turned
her fiery
her
spirit.
Whole, the village like attached to their estate against her, like said that she was responsible for these bad things.
Yeah, and her best friend who drowned in the river and stuff.
Alexander claimed she was jealous and pushed her in whenever she did not.
Yeah. So, she was actually teaching her how.
Yes.
You know?
So it was just very, very sad to hear these things that happened to her. And like that also softens Royce to her as well. There's also a scene at this place. We find out later that Brenna is allergic to feathers and they find out the pillow that she's laying on is stuffed with feathers. And so she's really allergic to it. And so they're expecting that they'll want to send Brenna back. And Jenny she would be sent back as well. Yeah. But obviously that would not happen.
Yeah. It sounds to me as if Brenna has like some form of asthma or something.
Asthma. Yeah.
But she's also allergic to pillows. So, but Brenna apparently did it on purpose thinking that, you know, they would both get sent back or something. But what happens is Jenny thinks it's an asthma attack. And she's like, if she doesn't get the potion from my aunt, she'll die. She's like, I'll do anything you want, anything you want. And he's like, anything? Because at this point, he is like, he wants her.
He wants her so bad. They've had a couple close calls.
Yes. And he's like, I don't care what it takes. Like, I have to have her. But he wants her willingly, obviously. He does not want to rape her or force her or whatever. Coercion's okay, though.
Yes. Coercion is okay because he's like, he does stipulate this. He's like, I want you willingly in my bed.
Yeah.
And he wants her to agree to this.
Yeah.
And because so honestly, Brenna would have recovered if she got off the pillow.
Right.
So, it wasn't quite life or death.
Right.
But Jenny was taking advantage of the opportunity.
And to get her
but
home,
now
too.
She was like, okay, well, I can let Brenna escape. And that'll be fine. That'll be worth it.
Right.
See, Jenny thinks a lot about other people in situations.
Yeah.
Sometimes to her detriment. So she does end up by spending the night with Royce. And wonderful.
That was a good scene.
It was good.
Because he's super vulnerable. And the way she talks about how he says her name.
And also, you know what? Who he reminded me of? One of my favorite heroes, Torin. Because he was talking about how all the ladies love his reputation of being like a brute on the battlefield. And that's what they expect from him in the bedroom. And he's just like, I'm getting so tired of that. Like, I want sweet love making.
He wants to make love. He wants like gentle, sweet softness.
Yes.
And it's super intimate. You know, when they get slow and soft like that, it's just very intimate. Mm-hmm. And just the way he kept saying her name, it was like,
it was good. It was lovely. It was amazing. Good. He does does wake up in the middle of the night and she's not there, but she's on the balcony and they like have sex quite a few times.
Yeah. And actually that's when she tells him about her kingdom of dreams.
Yes.
And look, this scene, I have to say, so when Jenny gets serious and sad, it broke my heart. She basically talks about how this kingdom of dreams is essentially her dream kingdom where she would rule and her people would love her because she loved them. And it's just so sad.
He asked, he's like, your kingdom would have illness and strife? And she was like, well, yeah, because I need to go rescue the people.
Yeah, because I would rescue them.
And he was like, so in your kingdom of dreams, you're the heroine of your own story.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, and he's like, I used to dream about a kingdom like that as well. Yeah. And of course, his life has been nothing but war and awfulness.
Battlefield. Yeah.
And so they both are looking for the same things. And peace. That's whenever we find out that they're extremely compatible.
Yes.
They would just let themselves be. But of course, we have to have a couple, you know, obstacles thrown in to the mix. So whenever they're chit-chatting in the forest again, because they like to have some privacy.
Yeah, he takes her outside the walls.
There's like a really vulnerable moment, and it's like almost the moment where she like confesses like some feelings, and like Royce is talking about like the promise in her eyes that like maybe she never would want to leave him and stuff like that. But then she catches a glimpse of her stepbrother William in the forest. She has a choice.
Yes. And the one thing, what's going through his mind, because I like how we do get both points of view, is after they have sex, he realizes he's ruined her. You know, he's thinking she's going to be my mistress, even though I have to marry someone else. And of course, he quickly realizes I could never do that to her. Mm-hmm. I could never, you know, bring a woman back here and have, you know, to be my wife while I kept her as a mistress. Like, I couldn't do that to her because he loves her.
He does. He just doesn't know it quite yet.
Yeah.
But then she talks with her brother, William, who's the nicest brother that she has.
Yes.
And he's there to rescue her. She also doesn't want to, like, he's like, oh, no, like, he totally forced you, didn't he?
Like, she's like,
I don't want to tell him that.
Oh, we'll talk about that later.
I don't want to say I was willing because I was, but, you know, I feel like my father would be ashamed of me and stuff.
Yeah.
So she's basically feeling pulled in two different directions. And this is basically her conflict for the rest of the story, is the pull that she's feeling towards Royce, but then the loyalty that she feels towards her father, which is he's completely undeserving of this loyalty. And we'll talk about that in the end, why I got super aggravated at the end.
Me too.
which is why I only gave this book 4 stars, but I still loved it.
Yeah.
Because Jenny's such a good character. Like, the beginning, Jenny is amazing.
It's just the last 20%.
Yeah. The conflict at the end, I wasn't a fan of, but okay. That's okay, because I like the rest of the book. I like 80% of the book.
Yeah,
okay?
80% is like 5 stars plus.
Exactly. So Jenny does escape.
Yes.
And as he's telling, because like there's this other dude that comes.
There's this other guy who's like on the council to the king, and he's not gentry. He's not, I mean, aristocracy. Like, he doesn't have a title or anything. But these council are the ones, they have a lot of power, and they can determine like what happens to them. Well, he's like, you fucked up this whole peace treaty that the king's trying to do with King James of Scotland.
Yeah, and Royce is like, how was I supposed to know like, that while I'm fighting battles that he's discussing peace treaties?
Because last I spoke to him, I'm supposed to be like winning this war.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And so it's like, well, you're going to give me the Merrick sisters and we're going to take them home. Well, he's like, well, Brenna's already went on her way home, but Jenny is not coming with you.
No. Because I'm marrying her.
Because I'm going to marry her. And she will agree to marry me.
Yes. And the guy was just like, well, that'll be hard to do since she's betrothed to the McPherson.
Oh.
And Royce feels betrayed because he was like, she never said that she's betrothed to anybody else.
Yeah.
And then they find out that she has escaped. And so Royce is doubly pissed, and King Henry.
Yeah, and he's taken to like the Tower of London.
Yeah.
He's under arrest, like in a nice cushy room.
Yes,
but in the Tower of London. But yes, he is taken because he refused. Because originally he refused to go, like allow what's his face to take the women.
And so that's, and his men like drew their swords against his men.
Yes.
So it was kind of like
a little
it's offense against the king, and he has to do a little slap on the wrist for that type of thing.
I feel so bad for Roy. So he's stuck in the tower for like a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. Weeks go by and the king refuses to see him. Finally, when he summons him, he's like, look, I'm finally summoning you because we finally found your brother showed up.
Yeah.
You know, he's been in hiding, but he's finally showed up. Because his brother was the one who was escorting
Brenna
back to Scotland. So basically, he comes up there ready to fight for his brother and stuff. And he's like, okay, yes. I'm glad you're here because I kind of need your point of view. We've been trying to, like, get information from you this whole time. And so the king says, okay, well, look, you know, you kind of fuck things up here. But, and he's like, how was I supposed to know? Because they're friends.
Yeah.
And so I kind of like that.
The he king can question him a little bit more than other people can question him.
Right.
The king.
Right.
He can question him.
And also because he trusts him. He's like, well, the fact.
Or be a little bit more impertinent mm-hmm. without fear of, like, yeah. off with his head.
Yeah. And the king even said, he's like, look, the fact that you came willingly, even when your men could have demolished mine and, yeah. you know, set up their, your own little army, that tells me that you're, you know, you're trustworthy. You're still trustworthy. You didn't do anything wrong. He's like, but we have a solution to this problem. Yeah. Since we were in the midst of trying to form this treaty with King James and I have decided the best solution is for you to marry the Merrick girl.
Yeah, because you've already had her.
That's the only way to save her reputation.
Yeah.
It's the only way to ally us with Scotland.
And at this point, Royce isn't as keen on marrying
now
her
he's
because now he's
pissed.
Like, she betrayed me.
Y'all, the other thing that's been going on that really, oh, it hurt my heart is everyone. He's a laughing stock.
Yeah.
He has become a laughing stock. Number one, because
like,
she got away
she was
and escaped.
Going, he was bestowing a prisoner with jewels in fine clothes
and
offering
a woman,
to marry
and
her.
And
instead of marrying,
she runs
from him.
Runs.
Like, she would rather run than be
it's
married
such a
to him. And so the whole court is calling the laughing stock and also calling her the Merrick slut.
Yes.
And so
and he's
just,
not correcting them
no,
at this point.
Because he's mad. He's humiliated.
Yes. He's not talking at all.
No.
And so, and it was so funny because it's like, somebody's like, you know, because he basically said it's the last woman in all the world that I, England or Scotland, I would want to marry.
Yeah.
But the king has ordered it, King James has ordered it, and so be it.
Yes.
So, but the other thing he does is he elevates him to Duke.
Oh, yeah. He's like, so your future wife has, she's a countess in her own right. And I think
yeah.
it was because she was supposed to inherit the father's
right.
lands, but now she wasn't. But anyway, and her title is actually older than mm-hmm. his earldom. And so he's like, that won't do. You're now going to be the Duke of Claiborne.
Yeah.
Claymore, not mm-hmm. Claiborne. And, so I've read Whitney, My Love, and whenever we get to the Regency time period, yeah, that hero's a duke. So he's a descendant, very far off. But so we get to Jenny's point of view, and Jenny is informed that she has to marry him, and she knows. She's like, oh shit.
She's like, oh no, I can't.
I betrayed him.
I can't.
And he's
he
coming
me.
Here. He hates me. And so she's begging her
them.
Dad. She's like, send me back to the Abbey. Like,
yeah.
I will, no, don't let me marry him. And the dad, you can just see again,
yeah.
does not care for his daughter. And is just kind of like, you're going to do what you're told.
He's like,
whatever.
This is what you're going to do. You're going to marry him, but you're not going to let him touch you. You're not going to give him an heir.
Yeah.
You're going to.
Since he deprived me of mine, you're going to
yes.
deprive him of his. Like, he's
you know,
not going to get.
This is going to be our
it's
revenge.
It's all like revenge.
It's all
shit.
About, yeah, it's all to him about saving face and one-upping, you know, the English, you know.
Exactly. Exactly. And
so,
it's no surprise that whenever he gets there and she's just like, oh, shit. He's not really, like, talking to her,
no.
looking at her, or anything. But then the, what is it called? Not is it, was it the priest or the friar? He was delayed in
yeah.
coming.
I was like, oh, that's
and
not
then there's a moment
at all.
Where Jenny sees, oh, and her Aunt Eleanor appears. So her Aunt Eleanor.
Her Aunt Eleanor's hilarious.
Was also, she was sent to basically live in isolation as well. See,
yeah.
it just seems like Jenny's dad just is very misogynistic,
yeah,
cares nothing
women.
For women
yeah.
at all, and wants to see them suffer. And so Aunt Eleanor's like, your father promised me, like, I could stay with you, and la, la, la.
Yeah.
And then we see that Eric, who is the silent bodyguard that we love, and that's the
oh,
one we want the story
him.
For. Like, what happened
story,
to his story?
Please.
He needs, he's the perfect candidate for
oh my God.
A hero in a romance. Like,
he's
what?
So mysterious. And
the
just
silent broody type does it takes no
looks
joy
like
in
a Viking.
Anything. Yes, like come on, I need that
but
story.
There are moments
somebody
where he,
write a fanfic.
Yeah, he's so protective of Royce, and then he becomes very protective of her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like, I want his story. I'm upset.
So in the middle of the night, And Eleanor is sleeping in her chamber, and she is woken up by Royce.
No, so basically they sign the marriage certificate, but they do not do the bands. They do not actually do the ceremony. So that's important to know. So because the friar's been delayed. So it's supposed to happen the next day. But the father's all like, don't worry, Jenny. I'm going to take care of you. Don't worry. It's all very suspicious. We all know some shit is going down. So then they're in the chamber. And then what happens?
And then Royce comes to through the kidnap window. Her.
Da-da.
To kidnap her, okay? And he's like, so right now my brother is keeping Brenna hostage. And if you don't come quietly, then, you know, something bad might happen to her. I'm not in the mood to play with you right now.
And he's been very, like, angry and fierce. Like, she is afraid of him.
Yes.
Just
as they're about to go out through the window, and Eleanor wakes up and she's like, what are you doing with my niece? In the negotiation that happens, because he does bind Jenny and gags her, so she can't talk this whole time.
And then he lowers her out, so she doesn't even know what's going on.
And Eleanor is just kind of like, I'm willing to keep quiet about this if you take me with you.
Yes.
Because I don't really want to go back in isolation. Like, that was really boring. So,
and I can help keep her, you know, I know she's strong-willed. I can
help
you.
She'll listen to me.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you want an ally?
Yeah.
And so Royce is just like, fine. So he takes Aunt Eleanor, but and I love it. I love
too.
It.
I love this plan. So, of course, Stefan and Eric and them, they're like looking. They see another woman, an old woman being hoisted down. Like on her back, his back or something.
Yes.
Coming down.
And it's so funny, though, too, because Jenny's like sitting there bound and gagged, and Aunt Eleanor's just free to just sit in the boat, you know.
And she's not smiling away.
She's smiling. She's like, this is great.
So we're going on an adventure. I love her relationship with Eric. She's always pestering Eric.
Yeah, she's just like, she is picking at him, which makes him even more. More of a hero material.
I know.
I'm so mad. So mad.
I know. We want it so bad. So I love Royce's plan. So they gallop away into the night and they're like going fierce and hard, and they come upon a priory. And basically he
Friar
calls
Gregory.
Her.
Is that
Friar
his
Gregory.
Name is or whatever?
I love him.
I love him. He's like a newbie.
Like, so he's a fresh. He's a fresh friar. He's young. Don't know what the hell's going on. And so I love how she hauls him in there, and finally unbinds her, ungags her and whatever. And the priest is like, well, I can't wed this. And she's like, you don't want this? She's like, no, I don't want this wedding. And she's like, well, I can't do anything unless there would be a reason for this to be necessary. In other words, like,
are you pregnant?
Yeah. And she's like, no, I'm not pregnant. There's, you know, basically she's had her menstrual cycle since last time they had sex. He goes, fine, give us 15 minutes, Friar.
Yeah.
And starts to haul her out
to
the
yard.
She's
like, what are we doing? And he's like, I'm making sure that it's going to be necessary that we wed.
She's like, oh, fuck.
She's like, God, ruining
fine,
all the plans.
Fine, I'll do it.
So. And so also they take the Friar with them.
I thought that was smart. I thought the father could have even killed the Friar.
Yes.
You know.
Yes, for marrying them.
Royce was
because he doesn't want anybody to know that this marriage was actually like
legal
and because he could have claimed they weren't properly married, and because his plan, whenever Royce tells Jenny of the plan, like, your father was planning on bundling you away to a nunnery so that I would be married to you, but I would have no chance at an heir.
Right.
And she
have no
is
legal
so,
heir.
She was like, he would not do that. He would not do that at the expense of my happiness. And like, she's so convinced that her father is not that devious to disregard her feelings. And I'm just like, honey, baby, you just got to realize what a horrible person your dad is, and he's never going to love you. And like, you need to find your own new family.
That really started to bother me, that how wise, like worldly wise, Jenny seems to be in so many ways. Yet at this point, she's still believing her father.
And the thing about it is, I can understand, because I can feel like she is looking for that type of love.
Yeah, she wants that approval.
But
right.
She knows Royce. And then once she gets to his castle, when she gets to Claymore and she sees this beautiful castle, I love whenever she's just like, what is this place? And he was like, this is Claymore.
Yeah.
This is my kingdom of dreams, you know? And she thinks it's gorgeous. And whenever she starts bonding with the people, because this is very interesting, when they get right up to the gate, she's very worried about her appearance too. And Royce finds this funny. Like, you know, she was just like a spitfire a second ago, but now she's worried
about
like how the people
grooming
will see
her hair, like finger combing her hair and everything.
Yes. And so she cares about what these, you know, English bastards think about her.
Right.
And whenever she's greeted at the gate, she's greeted by jeers from the crowd calling her the Merrick slut.
they're screaming it at her. And a little boy throws dirt and hits her in the face. It's yes. so sad.
It is, because it's just like she wants to be loved, and here she's confronted with this. But they nip it in the bud real quick, because Eric jumps off his horse, goes grab the boy. Jenny thinks, oh my God, he's going to kill him. And so she starts freaking out and being like, oh my God, don't kill him. Yeah. It's just a little boy. He's just repeating the stuff that, you know, y'all have all said, what you were rumored to have said in front of King Henry and stuff like that. And so Royce like gives the signal that Eric should drop the boy. And he was like, make sure the boy is brought to me tomorrow. And when they go into the castle, Royce just like, don't Stop. Defy me ever again in yeah. front of everybody. Like, just don't do that type of stuff. And she was just like, I didn't want Eric to kill the boy. And he was like, do you really think Eric would have killed the boy? Like, he was waiting for my signal. I wouldn't have killed the boy.
Right. Like, I also love that moment where it's like, she is, but of course, like, he's been cruel to her this whole time, like, heartlessly, mm-hmm. cold, no affection. He's been so angry. But also, when this happens, he softens and he brings her to the steps of his castle and basically tells everyone that she, if you're talking to her, you're talking to me. Yeah. Like, she is my equal.
Whatever offense you raise against her, it's an offense raised against me. Basically being like, treat her like she is an extension of myself. And if I take offense, then it's on your head.
In other words, call her Merrick Slut again.
Yeah. I dare you. I dare you to do that. And so I really do like that as well.
Yeah.
And so they go up to the chambers, and Jenny sees like a chest of like beautiful silks and stuff, and she finally has a bath, which she's not had a bath in a long time.
Days.
And she is kind of just like in awe of all of this, and he tells her, you know, I just need you to behave downstairs. And whenever she finally does meet him downstairs, and he was in everyone's like admiring her, and he says, you look like a chameleon, and she's like, oh, what, a lizard?
A lizard? Thanks.
He's like, no, you can blend in everywhere. Like you were a freaking nun when I first saw you, and then you were in men's clothes the rest of the time I saw you, and now all of a sudden you're this fucking vixen. Like, what the hell? You're driving
like
me
a
insane.
Queen, you know.
And so they're sitting, and another one of the things whenever they're chatting just about like life, Royce was just like, do you know what the one thing that I missed on all the battlefields? Like, a lot of people like think of their family and mm-hmm. whatever. I thought about good food because like they have like dried meat, like all like just awful.
I totally sympathize with that.
Yes.
I was like, oh my gosh.
Things that are like pretty much non-perishable but like horrible to eat. And so he is like looking forward to a meal, and like the meal is not quite up to snuff because the stewardess is just like not a very good stewardess. He's like, he's kind of an asshole. But and Eleanor was just kind of like, you know, if your kitchen had all these spices and stuff, like we can make all this and like, all the men are salivating.
I love that Aunt Eleanor becomes like the savior.
And Royce is just
kind
of like, that's your domain.
Yeah.
You can control what happens in the kitchen, Aunt Eleanor.
Like, you know what
and
to
she
do?
Just like, oh, perfect. Like, she fits in so well.
She does.
She's just like, yep, this is my new home. This is where we're at. She's much more accepting of this situation and excited about it than Jenny is. It takes Jenny a little bit of time to kind of get accustomed to, oh, now I'm kind of on the side of the English. And it's really funny because she's just kind of like, she's upset that she didn't bring a dowry to the marriage because she was stolen away. And I love whenever Royce was like, well, you're not dowerless because King Henry gave you a little estate, very profitable, called whatever. And I forgot what it was called.
Yeah.
And she was like, well, that was nice of him. Like, she cannot say nice things about the English.
Yeah.
She, like, hates
King Henry
it.
Gave you an estate.
Yes. And she was like, I'm struggling saying nice things about the English king. Oh, shit. But he was like, actually, it was kind of stolen from me, but it's fine. It's yours. Like,
but
it's your dower house.
I do love that they both realized they were in the wrong. They kind of come to terms with it. And they both, you know, not necessarily apologize, but they definitely are basically forgiving each other quickly
and then
about what had happened.
They're very excited to get back into the marriage bed.
Yes.
Wonderful. They have a good old time. And Jenny also kind of exercises her new kind of role as the lady of the estate when the little boy is called up for his punishment.
Yeah.
Like the mom and all them. So this is the thing about
so
it. Royce
sad.
Hasn't been back to Claymore in 8 years. Mm-hmm. And the last time he was there, he was literally conquering this fortress.
Yeah. He laid siege to it.
So nobody knows him really. Yeah. And again, his reputation precedes him. And so they're really unsure about how he's going to handle all this. And the stewardess is making it seem like this boy's going to die for this offense.
Yeah, the stewards basically said, you know, go get the priest so he can have his last rites.
Yeah.
So the mother's crying at his feet. And she's like, don't scare him. Just kill him. Don't scare him like this.
Yeah,
like,
don't drag it out.
My heart was in my throat for this poor mother.
I knew Royce was going to kill him. Like, what the fuck is this asshole? Fucking asshole, whatever his name was. But
Stewart had to go. Yeah. But so she basically tells him, basically is like, you know, why don't, since you're so good at, because she kind of works it in, like, you know, you were really good at throwing that lob of dirt. I bet you're really good. She says, he's like, basically like, yeah, I'm a sure shot.
I'm a hunter. Yeah.
I'm a hunter. You know, I always get, you know, what I aim for. And she's like, well, your punishment is like for 6 months, you're going to
wake up early in the morning
and you're going to hunt the grounds for the castle, for us. Yes. You know, for the kitchens.
And if there's no need for meat, then you have to come see me and stuff like that. And you're going to have to do this for 2 months.
And it's just
and
like
the parents
the mom
are like,
just like falls at her feet. And like
I'll never forget. I'll mention you in my prayers always. So and Jenny's sweet. Like, and my husband.
And my husband.
So this is the funny thing too. She also goes about making Royce's reputation around the estate better. Yeah. Like him being like a good lord and stuff like that. That she wants the people to feel like her husband is approachable. Right. And I also love how she has a conversation with the friar, being like, "Do you notice the weird attitude toward my husband from all of like the villagers?"
And that's when she explains, like, "Do you know what happens in a siege? Do you know what like
he was like? It's not the lords that suffer during a siege; it's all the peasants. Yeah, their homes get burned, their fields get burned,
and even
stuff
people
like that.
Get killed so that they can't work for." The new lord, you know, like,
So it's just gonna take some time for them to know, and of course they're happy that maybe this guy will protect them, but also they just don't know, since he has so many enemies. Yeah. What if a lot of the enemies come to the gates?
Right.
And
so things are going great, guys.
Yes, up until a point.
Like, I really was like, this is where it should end. This is where it should have ended. Right here. But of course, you know, her father brings an army to the castle, and Royce, instead of like, you know, basically not allowing him to come in, he's like, let him in. Let him come in and see that
he probably
we are
has
rightfully
a safe
married.
Space. He probably safe has a face. Safe face.
Yes. You know, because she was taken from his castle and all this stuff.
I breached his walls.
this is constant tit for tat.
Yes,
the whole,
it is.
Whatever. So,
and she extracts a promise from him, like, make sure you don't harm any of my family.
Yeah. So, of course, what the fuck happens? William's there. They're all there. And he claims that she wanted to go back to a nunnery. And she's like, well, I did it first, but I didn't want to go.
I didn't agree to this specific plan. You're making it seem like I was privy to this plan.
He was twisting plans, and it really kind of like struck Royce badly. Mm-hmm. You know? Which I didn't like. I didn't like that part. And then, of course, she's like, well, I'm, you know, going to my room or whatever. And as she turns to go up to her room, she hears a cry and a shout, and then you've killed him. And then when she comes back, William's dead with Royce's dagger in his chest.
The only good brother left. And
the
I'm just like,
only good brother.
And I don't agree with this decision to kill
neither.
William.
And Royce knows that. Royce knows that. She's even said, William is my gentle brother, my kind brother, my, you know, he's, you know, the best one that, you know.
And it was basically just a conflict so that Jenny would be mad at Royce.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, we could have done that with the father remaining the villain.
Right.
You know, he could have been the one, like, and or.
Instead of even coming to the castle, they could have gone straight to the joust. Do you know what I'm saying?
True. Or William could have just been injured and not died. I don't know. There's just a bunch of avenues.
What bothered me is that Royce is such an experienced soldier, warrior. He knows how to, he could have disarmed him without killing him easily. He's done it thousands of times. You know, mm-hmm. he did it to her, you know, like, and this is a young, weak, smaller man. This is not even, he's like not even half his height or, you know, it's like,
we know him to be the only sensible person because we get the father's point of view briefly a couple times.
And he dies instantly, apparently, because he doesn't even have like his dying breath to be able to say anything. Like literally he dies instantly.
Yes.
Which is not what happens
with
knife wounds.
It was a weird
either.
Scene.
I didn't like it at all.
It was a weird scene.
I thought the father somehow did it. I thought the other brother did it.
Me too.
I mean, I was just like so confused.
Me too.
Royce was actually...
It seemed like something more was going on because Royce claimed that William was going for the dagger. So we never knew why William would have...
Would pull out his own dagger. Because he did. He did.
Yes.
But why?
Like, we never get closure for that. Like, how did this happen?
It doesn't make sense. It didn't make any sense to me, and I was totally confused. And then I was pissed off because, of course, what the fuck happens? But Jenny's like, "You killed my brother. You killed my brother. Oh, I hate
and then she
you.
Starts
I hate
like
you. I hate
monster
you.
Animal.
Monster
devil.
Animal. You're the devil. You're what they said. You la la la." And of course, then Royce is like, "I am the monster. I am the." And he starts to believe
all
it
those. Oh God, he thinks back to the moment whenever they're in the forest. And whenever she says like all those rumors about you, like I really don't believe them. And now he's thinking back to it and being like, "Well, now the
now
rumors are
true.
Now I am the monster that she like, that everyone else thinks
not.
I'm to be."
So why did that have to happen?
It didn't. It did not. So we go to the joust, and this is another thing that I don't really love. So there's a joust between, you know, all everyone's there, like King James,
which Royce
is there,
has never even been to one of these jousts before. They made point that he's never played in these jousts, but he's doing
it's not his thing.
Yeah,
and Jenny's dad basically says like, "Yeah, you'll come sit on our side, right?" And like Jenny has gotten to know these people. She's mad at Royce, but like she has actually built a home with people who feel loyal to her.
Yes.
At Claymore.
These are her people.
But she still chooses to go sit next to her father. And I'm just like, I don't understand why after she hears that her father actually did plan to send her to a nunnery and basically just kind of like trap Royce in a marriage, a one-sided marriage.
So
she still like believes that the father has her best interest. And so she goes sit with him. And I'm just
And in doing so, she doesn't just shame and betray Royce. She shames and betrays all of the English people who are her people.
Yes.
By marriage, these are her people.
Yes.
You know, and they've become to love her.
I love how Aunt Eleanor tells her that and being like, "Honey, I mean, like, we should have been sitting on the other side. Yeah. We should not be sitting over here, but I came sit with you because my place is beside you. But, like, you picked wrong." Basically told her, "You picked wrong. You should not be sitting here."
I wish she would have told her before.
And then,
you know what I mean?
You know, during the whole joust, she's so afraid that Royce is going to
kill someone else.
Kill her family or anyone who's fucking Scottish.
Yeah.
And so she has to run away because she believes that he looks so fierce during this like mock battle. This is crazy, honestly. Because like I thought like
and
all these things
joust,
are like one on one.
Most people joust people like three people. He's agreed to 11 plus like a tournament.
Yes,
it's
and
like
all
ridiculous.
So he does like he does jousting, but he also does
this
like mock
battle yeah,
thingy.
Mock battle.
And like she runs away, and I love how Stefan goes get
Me
her, and he's just
too.
Like, "You will come back here," because what she doesn't know is that her brothers are actually like this is
her brother
to be
and her father. They're
you're
all,
not supposed to be killing people during this thing.
And the McPherson son, they're all trying to kill
like
him,
like stabbing him.
They're stabbing him.
And Stefan's like, "My brother is dying because
literally
once they figured out that he
yeah.
won't raise a hand against any of your family, they start ganging up on him."
Yeah.
And so finally she goes on the field and she all like boo-hoo and crying next to him.
Like you should be.
Finally. And then he wakes up and she's like, "My love." And I'm just like, "Jenny, you have not earned the right to be all like this right now because I'm mad at you that
oh,
he's
so
hurt
mad.
In the first place." Okay.
Yeah.
But they do end up by being together, so it's fine. It's
fine.
I kind of wanted something bad to happen to her dad, though. Nothing ever
too.
Happened bad to him.
I know.
See,
it's
in
not,
my
it's not,
perfect
it's
world,
yeah.
the dad would have tried to have done something. She would have realized how horrible her dad was.
She would have killed her father.
Her dad would have died, and William would have succeeded.
Yeah. What would have been true, great, is if she was the one who killed her father. Like, to finally choose... him
I don't know if she'd ever gotten to that point though because she was so blinded that her father was a good guy.
I know,
but
we're talking about perfect world here.
Yeah, so. But like then she would have to like have like this avenging angel sort of thing.
Yeah,
I thought that maybe
true.
They were going to try to convince Aunt Eleanor to like poison them as well and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So like that could have been a storyline as well. I don't know. It wrapped up really fast. It was very fast in the end. I feel like that part needed to breathe a little bit. And for things to not happen the way they did. But that's my personal opinion. Then we have an epilogue, and they're so cute, and she's pregnant, about to
she's
have a
pregnant.
Baby.
And they're little. He's nervous because her labor takes 2 days, and so everyone's praying for her, and everyone's nervous. I love that after she has the baby, and she's like, you know, she gives him a son, and he carries her to the balcony, and all the people are down there, and they're cheering and, like, loving her. And it's like the Kingdom of Dreams
moment. She has her
moment.
Kingdom of Dreams moment.
She finally has
so,
it.
So... like I said, we talked a lot about the beginning of this book and kind of like through the end.
Yeah.
Because our favorite part is the beginning of this book.
Yes.
Because she's such a strong girl, and I just hated to see her being taken advantage of her father up until the very end of the book.
At the very end. I wanted more transformation. Because she transformed in other ways really, really well. And so did Royce, but she continued to believe this idiocy that her father loved her.
I just pretend like the last 20% didn't happen.
Me too. Me too. I stopped it. It's so funny because I remember messaging Justin. I was like, okay, I'm at like 79%. I love this so much. And she's like, I want to talk to you when you read all of it.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not going to comment until you finish it, okay?
Okay. I'll finish it up. And then I'm like, the next day, I'm like, what the fuck just happened?
I can't believe William died. That was one of the first thing you told me.
Yes. I'm like, I loved William.
Yes, aww, I know. So
sweet brother.
I still love it. I still love it.
It was great. So we loved it.
So obviously our showdowns are going to be like earlier scenes, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, I could have chosen anything in the camp, but I think I'm going to go with, the first night they made love.
Yes.
And the Kingdom of Dreams talk. It was just such an intimate scene. I loved
it. It was 100% my scene.
Oh, good.
Because it was just like, I mean, how can you beat that one? Because like you said, it wasn't just, you know, their first night together. It was this vulnerability that you see from Roy saying like, she sees me as no other woman has seen me.
Right.
And then they also have the Kingdom of Dreams talk, and you see how alike they really are.
It's just like, they're made for
beautiful.
Each other.
It's fucking beautiful, okay? I really loved it. Really loved it, guys.
Well, we hope that you enjoyed today's episode and look forward to the next one where we'll be reviewing Radiance by Grace Draven.
Thanks so much for listening.
This goes out to all the fangirls.
Life's better with a little HEA.